I have a confession to make. I genuinely don't know what to make of this transfiguration story. Whenever I read this passage, whenever I go to church on Transfiguration Sunday, I'm left not with understanding and meaning, but with a ton of questions, and mostly confused about what these clouds and ghosts of Israel's past mean. Now, I could stand up here and tell you what I read about transfiguration from theologians and preachers, how Moses and Elijah show us how Jesus is fulfilling the law and prophets of the Old Testament, how this connects back to Jesus' baptism, where God claims Jesus as God's Son, the Beloved. How all of this happens right after Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to suffer and be killed. I could make all of those connections for you, but the problem is that none of those things have ever felt particularly meaningful to me. They never have. I don't know why. But I don't think I'm alone in my struggle with this passage. For us 21st century people, this story is a little hard to imagine. We live in a rational, scientific, technological age, a time when we know how clouds act based on what's happening in the atmosphere, and we know that faces only change in fiction books. We Christians struggle with this story too, because I don't know about you, but I've never experienced clouds engulfing me and God speaking to me from the sky or seeing Jesus' face transform before my very eyes. I've climbed a few mountains in my life, and this has never happened to me. This story is totally unrelatable. And it's unrelatable because at its core, it's an experience, it's a moment that cannot be described with words. What Pastor Hammerston read today is a mystical, unexplainable, beyond the limits of human language kind of story. A story of three disciples who have a supernatural encounter with a transcendent God on a mountain. And there simply are no words to capture that experience, no matter how hard the author Luke tries. There is also no way that you or I could fully understand the depth and breadth of this moment having not been there. So I have spent many weeks, and I mean that, many weeks, interrogating this text, demanding the story to disclose itself to me so that I could say something, anything, to you beloved people. Before I realized that my intense probing was in vain, before I finally noticed, the only thing God says on the mountain today, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." Listen. Weeks into my interrogation, that word "listen" struck me. Because God does not tell the disciples, God does not tell us, "This is my Son, my chosen, understand him." God does not tell them to know him or believe him or think about him. God doesn't say to debate him or rationalize him or put him through the scientific method. God says to listen to him. Listen. So I stopped asking all my questions and tried to listen. And when I put my rational, understanding, thinking brain to the side, I heard and saw a God who acts in this world in unexplainable ways. In ways that us modern-day people might rationalize away as fate or coincidence, but are actually moments of our transcendent God breaking into our world, into our very lives. Moments that may feel out of this world or even mystical. Moments that remind us that something bigger might be happening here. When I listen to Jesus on the mountain, I hear someone who is preparing to walk all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave, to live out the ultimate unexplainable event of death and resurrection, an event that we will spend our whole lives struggling to believe and understand, an event that is beyond what science and technology can tell us, but an event, an unexplainable event, that will change our entire lives, that will show us how deeply God loves us, how far God will go to be near us. When I listen to the disciples who were terrified and confused on that mountain, I resonate with their reluctance to tell anyone about what they saw, because who's going to believe them? Who would trust them when they said God spoke to them? They kept this brief, fleeting moment to themselves, as we often do, questioning whether it really happened or not. But when I listen, I know it was real. It happened. God showed up, and it was unbelievable. When I listen to this story, I'm reminded of my own transcendent moments when God showed up in my life in unexplainable ways. When I heard the clearest call to be a pastor after 8 years of adamantly saying no, and I didn't hear this call in some holy and holy places, no, I heard it in my car on the way to work after leaving a funeral. I remember the intense presence of a personal saint as I walked through an arboretum and saw his name on a plaque. It was like he was there with me. I remember a time, not even a year ago, when I learned about a church in Minnesota called Mount Olivet, 3 weeks after nearly giving up being a pastor at all. We like to think we have this world figured out, that we have total and complete control over what's happening to us, that we can understand everything, that mystery and mysticism is something of novels or the most religious people. But when I listen to this story, I'm reminded that God acts far beyond the limits of our world, that God shows up in ways that we will never be able to know or comprehend, that God works through death and resurrection, a pattern of life that rarely makes sense when it's happening to us, that God moves in our lives in mystical, transcendent, unexplainable encounters that words just can't do justice to. This transfiguration story still doesn't make sense to me. I'm just as confused and lost about it all as I was weeks ago. But I'm finally to the point where I think that's okay. Because God didn't tell me to understand or know or grasp it. God just showed up on a mountain one day and told us to listen. listen to him. What do you hear?